ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Man, we got all kinds of stuff. Have you seen the FPI, the ESPN's first edition of the College Football Top 25 FPI?
No.
Oh, boy.
Have not.
Oh, boy. I almost didn't even put who do you think's too high. Because when you look it up, that one's pretty obvious.
Okay. I'm going to have to look it up here.
Too high, too low. When you look down through the list of the top 25, who could be a contender, a surprise contender maybe? And then also, I know we had this conversation a year ago, maybe a couple years ago. Who will be the next team, with Michigan becoming the latest, who will be the next team to make their first playoff appearance? We had LSU in 2019 who ended up winning the title. Michigan last year. So who will be the next team to make their first playoff appearance? So that's the college football look at things. NBA playoff or play-in games last night. The Hawks and Pelicans both won, which both could mean good things for the Thunder. I looked this up, and yes, it is possible for the Thunder to get another lottery pick.
That was my question yesterday. We kind of discussed that just a little bit yesterday afternoon. So that was my question. Is it possible?
It is possible. It is possible. And matter of fact, the only thing that needs to happen is the Pellies beat the Clips.
That's all we need?
That's all we need.
That's it?
That's it. But if we could get the Hawks to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, it would be even better.
Well, that's very possible. Both scenarios are.
So, that is possible. So, tomorrow night, if you're not doing anything on a Friday night, root for it. It has to be the Clips have to lose because the Thunder own that pick.
Sure.
That has to happen. But as a little bonus cherry on top, you might as well have Atlanta beat Cleveland as well. So we'll talk about that. I think two things out of last night. One, I think the Pelicans can be pretty good if one thing happens. And two, I think I have a landing spot for Russell Westbrook in a trade this summer.
Okay.
Can't wait to see what you think about that. Did you see the Kershaw thing yesterday?
I did.
We'll talk about that. You know what? I hate riding the fence on something. But I'm going to ride right down the middle of the fence on this one, unfortunately. I'm not going to take a side because I can see both sides of this. Totally can see both sides because it's him. And then also there was a state title one yesterday here locally. And the Elk City Girls Golf Team with the win. And I've got a couple happy birthdays as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of different ways. You can log on to KADSAM.com, download the Paragon app. Paragon app's got the Skinny or the Penny News. It's got the radio stations. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, all of it encompassed in one spot. Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, go back and check it out. KADSAM.com, or you can also find that on iTunes. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Man, I'm doing
good.
Hope
you didn't plant any flowers yet.
I did not. I was actually telling my wife yesterday, we went and picked up some stuff to take to the school. Wyatt's involved in the student council.
Oh, well, good for him.
He's actually the president of that dude.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's kind of a big deal. Just ask him. Anyway. Anyway, they're having the student council over there in the Sarah Elementary is sponsoring kind of a drive for supplies and things for the area fire departments.
Well, very
so
good.
We picked up a whole bunch of
well
stuff.
Well deserved.
I'm sorry, anybody listening in Sayre, if you go to Dollar General and you're looking for the Dollar General brand eye drops, sorry about your luck, because I think we grabbed every one of those
dudes. There's a need for that, not just for the firefighters, with the way the wind and dust has been this last couple days.
That's what I told Carol when we were walking out of there. I was like, the guy was kind of looking at us with one eyebrow kind of raised with all the eye drops. And I was like, yeah, man, he thinks we probably smoke a little of that good stuff there.
Yeah, right.
Anyhow, so.
Yeah, that's you guys.
That's what we did last night. And so hopefully, man, we need some rain. But you're right. Anyway, I was talking about we should have already done this, but we haven't. Buying tomato plants.
Oh, yeah, that was the time.
But I'm also glad that we didn't have them out.
Yeah.
Of course, I think it wasn't. I don't think it would have been the end of it if you'd have just covered them. Because it wasn't that cold that long. Which is good because you know what you're starting to notice out there?
Hmm.
Just anywhere you look? Leaves on trees and green grass.
Yeah.
And it always seems about this time of year when you think, yes, green grass. I obviously think of it from a golf standpoint. It's time. We're going to have some grass on the course. And then something like that happens and it stunts the growth. And then all of a sudden it's like May 3rd and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
We had green grass on April the 10th.
Yeah.
Hopefully that didn't happen. I don't think it did. I don't think it was long enough.
Well, speaking of pot, all our plants are in pots.
Oh, there you go.
So we just brought them into the garage last night. We haven't put them in the ground. We just bought them, you know, and then we just didn't do it yet. Usually we put them some in the ground, some in our own fancy pots. Most of our plants, our flowers are potted. Most of them are. So some are, but they're like in huge pots. We just can't move.
Yeah.
But so we got our phones buzz says frost warning.
Yeah, I got that one too.
We might want to bring those into the garage. Yeah. Anywho, but I'd rather have rain warning.
Yeah.
Speaking of green grass, I've seen, you can go on Facebook. So a year ago, you know, there's a picture from a year ago of my kids playing outside. And boy, that grass was a lot greener a year ago than what it is. But I haven't been watering in my lawn's defense. I have not been watering. But yeah, we need that rain. Pray for rain.
You know, there's a group of people around here, youngsters, that I kind of feel sorry for.
Hmm.
You know who that is?
I feel sorry for all our youth, but who's that?
Particularly the boys that go to high school and junior high at Merritt.
Oh, yes.
You know why?
I do know why.
Because a lot of them get, if they do something stupid, the girls will shoot them, and they won't miss.
Annie, get your gun.
Once again, Merritt is the state champs.
It's awesome.
The trap shooting yesterday. The high school team defeated Chisholm 219-206 in the finals. So Merritt is your state champion shooters. Canute was also there. They lost in the first round to Chisholm, ironically, who Merritt beat there in the finals. Individually, this is a name that we've said a whole bunch of different times in the shooting stuff, but Merritt's Bregan Barnett was the runner-up individual. She shot a 24 of 25. Bailey Pence from Altus was a perfect 25 of 25 to be the individual high school shooter, but Bregan second. She's been right around the time. I think she might have even won it one time in this couple of years that this has been going. So she was second individually. On the senior boys side, Austin Smith from Hydro Weekly tied for fifth with a 22. Merritt and Canute were the two high school teams that were in the shoot. There's 16 teams make it to state. The top two in each regional. There's four regionals around the state, so the top two automatically qualify, and then after that there's eight at large spots available for whatever the points that you shoot, and that's how Canute got in.
Mm-hmm.
through that way as an at large. So awesome stuff. You know, that's becoming a really big thing. There's also the juniors. A junior team, Sayre, was the team that made it. They lost in the first round out of one, they were one of only eight teams that qualified for the junior state shoot. They lost to Locust Grove in the first round. Locust Grove, I think, made it to the finals and lost. Individually, in the junior shoot, you had Sayre's Jaden Acuna on the boys' side, tied for fourth with a 21. Zane Sawatsky of Arapahoe Butler tied eighth with an 18. And then Noah Jarnigan and Dason Harmon both tied 12th, shooting a 17. On the girls' junior individual side, Merritt's Addison Darling tied second with a 19. I think 21 was the best junior girls score. So right there, Addison Darling almost was. You know, her and Bregan both got second out from Merritt individually in the high school and the junior female division shoot. But congratulations once again, as Merritt. Man, they this thing hasn't been going a ton of years, and they've been right there at the top each and every year of this thing. And what's kind of cool is, you know, it all started out there. You know, I know Monty and Paul and those guys got things kind of going. You know, the Red Dirt Shooting Club is, you know, just north of the baseball field at Sayre. I know a lot of these folks go over there on Sundays to practice and kind of, you know, hone their craft and do it some other ways. But that thing is exploding. You know, when I was reading off one of the longer sports reports in the evenings was the regional shoot, just because there was, you know, you got Merritt and Canute and Eric and Elk City and Cheyenne. I mean, it seems like everybody around is starting to kind of pick this up, and it's getting more and more people involved. So that's really cool. It's just another kind of outlet for competition for a lot of these kids. And it's I know Jimmy and those guys at the Quail Forever, you know, the NRA, a lot of those organizations are involved in this as far as, you know, helping to support with, you know, with shells or with targets or, you know, whatever it is,
yeah,
to keep this thing and really kind of grow what the Scholastic shooting sports is. So it's really cool, right. But I'm just telling you, I feel sorry for the, you know, the high school boys at Merritt.
Yeah, I agree.
Because not only would they might shoot you, they wouldn't miss.
No. Oh, no. They don't miss. That's awesome. That's, like I said, a couple days ago, I've always been on this. This gives them opportunity to move on to the next level as far as college is concerned. And there's more and more colleges out there. You mentioned, who's a young man from Merritt?
Yeah, Clayton McGee. He was the national track shoot champion just a couple weeks ago. I know Bregan's sister Blakely went down to Western Oklahoma State College to shoot.
That's awesome.
And there's been some. I know there's others. I know there is.
That's cool.
In the short time that this has been going. And speaking of Monty, I know Mason Tucker, he won something last weekend. I can't remember what. I'll have to look that up. And speaking of, and also Mason, happy birthday to Reed, his little brother, 11 years old, young Reed Tucker. And Heath Martin turns, I don't know how old. He's an old man. He's an old guy. Probably have to see him this weekend over at the alumni festivities. But, no, it's a cool thing that's going on, and Merritt's as good as anybody in the state so far. As this thing gets going and they get, you know, they're right there at the top each and every year. Also yesterday in the high school ranks, I know, you know, Wednesday a lot of times is kind of an off day for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But Elk City girls golf, they struggled Monday. Everyone, you know, they were pretty disappointed. Monday was kind of the 4A preview, which was at Cushing, where the state tournament will be held. They didn't play very good, and they were pretty disappointed in that. Well, they bounced back yesterday and did a great job over at Clinton. They won with just doing the math right quick because I didn't write it down, I think 359. Which, 359, when you average that out, that's less than 90 apiece, which is going to win a whole bunch of golf tournaments on the girls' side out this way. Brett Barnett was the individual champion, shooting an 83. Lillian Rhodes tied for third, I believe, with an 86. Campbell Rainey tied seventh with a 93. And then Riley Wyatt with a 97. First time Riley's ever broken 100 in a tournament. She also made a birdie. And I went out and had some pictures taken with both golf teams from Elk City yesterday for the Oil and Gas Golf Tournament Committee. And it was pretty impossible to get the smile off of her face. And she was super happy. So it was great to see, and a great bounce back for the Elk City Elkett golf team after struggling mightily on Monday up at Cushing. So that's always good to see some resiliency. And I know some of those gals haven't played just a ton of golf competitively. Riley, Cam, Gabe's daughter, was there too. And so, you know, they're just kind of keep on getting better as we move along.
Very good.
Kershaw, let's talk about that right here at the top.
Yeah.
All right, so if you didn't see it yesterday, Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers was pulled after 7 perfect innings.
Apparently he was about to struggle.
And you say, and of course you say, well, you know, he threw a bunch of pitches. No. He had only thrown 80.
Okay.
So he was perfect through 7 on only 80 pitches. and was pulled out of the game from there. At first glance, my initial reaction was, see, this is why people don't like baseball. You have a chance at history, and the dadgum analytics of the thing tell you that somebody else needs to throw because it's the third time around in the order. You know, the numbers things.
Yeah.
And it wears you out. That was my initial reaction. What was your initial reaction?
The resting that is prominent in the NBA is leaking into other sports, a la Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, you see your superstars not playing a full amount of games, or in this case, a full amount of innings. And it's baseball is a very, very long season. Kershaw, he has the injury history, but when he's healthy, he's pretty dang good. Dodgers already the favorites going into this season. I think this is like a long-term thing, or like a hindsight thing. Like, okay, we are, and I'm sure Kershaw signed off on this. Surely he had to have, and go knowing the situation and go, listen, we're only going to give you this amount of pitches.
Yeah, he was on a pitch count, by the way.
On a pitch count. We're getting you out after a certain amount. We don't care what the situation is, because the bigger picture is a ring, not just a win.
And so, not just a perfect game.
Not just a perfect game either. So I think that's what – and being a baseball guy, I completely understand it. I do. I wasn't shocked when I saw – learned my phone. I thought – because it's Kershaw. He's going to – I know perfect games come once in a blue moon, but we've seen a lot more – no-hitters in some perfect games here as of late because the pitching's gotten so good. He'll have an opportunity, I believe. His career is far from over. But the big picture is the Dodgers are chasing a championship. If he was on the Texas Rangers, who are 1-4 right now, then he'd be pitching. but it's a bigger picture thing. But my answer is because of I think we're seeing, you know, the benefits of resting and pitch counts and a little bit of analytics goes into that, sure. But I'm sure the Dodger fans and faithful will be happy in October when they're competing for another world title.
Yeah,
with Kershaw on the mound.
I think that's totally it's him. He was on an 80 pitch count. So it's actually, man, at first I was just like, no way. A chance at immortality. I mean, perfect
right.
game. But then you think about it's him. He's on a pitch count, obviously because of the injury history, which is last year he spent one.
You got a list there.
I've got it. Yeah, he spent one 10-day stint on the DL with a forearm and another 60-day with an elbow. Back in 2020, two different times he was on the 10-day DL with a back. In 2018, he spent three different stints, one with a back, two with his throwing biceps each 10 days. And you're right, and the Dodgers are struggling a little bit with pitching injury already. And it's early. If this was June 14th and not April 14th, I don't know that the same decision is made. But it's kind of refreshing to see. You know, a lot of the hubbub on these airwaves yesterday afternoon obviously was what Baker Mayfield had to say about Cleveland and how it didn't go how they told him it would go. And a big part of that, though, unfortunately for Baker, is because he tried to play through an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And it's refreshing to see a team not let the circumstance affect the decision, because that was the decision going in. You're throwing 80 pitches and you're done no matter what. And to kind of stick to their guns. Now, I think one thing you said is exactly right. Kershaw clearly has signed off on this.
Yeah, I was going to ask, and I hadn't looked.
It looked like he was smiling in the dugout afterwards. He wasn't over there brooding.
He hadn't verbally come out and said anything in the post-game presser of how displeased he was by the decision, or he would have gone another direction. He's on board. Totally.
Yeah, and it goes all the way – it goes back to – exactly that. It's the bigger picture, not only for the Dodgers, but for him individually, because, you know, he's been there a while. And it does seem like he's got a few more years left, but at the same time, he's got to be as careful as possible with the injuries that have started to mount up over the last 4 or 5 years on his body and taking that toll. So, you know, that it it's funny how when I really kind of started to think about it a little bit more, it's like I talked my own self off the ledge. Because when I first saw it, I was like, 80 pitches? Like, this is what's wrong with baseball. Damn it. You know, like, throw a game.
Dang you, Billy Bean, and the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading tweets from some different writers who were upset. And one of them was like, Nolan Ryan threw 235 pitches as an Angel back in the day and then started 3 days later and won. You know, all those crazy numbers that, you know, that, and he was the exception, not the rule, Nolan, I mean, with the way that he was able to pitch into his 40s and all that. And mechanics were part of it and all that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, I think, you know what, as cool as it had been to see Clayton Kershaw try to throw a perfect game, it's about something different than that for him and the Dodgers. April 14th matters none if he's not there October 14th. And so probably cooler heads prevailed, or the plan that they had in place prevailed over you know, a one-game shot at immortality with a perfect game.
Hey, speaking of Nolan Ryan, have you seen that documentary that's coming out about him?
Mm-mm.
I posted the trailer on my Facebook page.
Really?
It looks really cool. I'm a big Nolan guy. I've always loved Nolan Ryan. Been my all-time favorite as a kid up till now. I'm looking forward to it.
Congrats to all the area high school teams. Success yesterday. NBA play-in games. We're almost to the playoffs. Almost. But this is still
the part. We're not calling this the playoffs?
I don't think so.
They don't have the – I've watched little to none. I've had it on, but just not paying attention. They don't have the playoff logo on the court.
It actually says play-in tournament, or at least on the promos.
As
you leave, like, you know, hey, we'll be back. It's into the first quarter, blah, blah, blah. And it shoots out to the kind of the fade out, and it says play-in tournament.
Okay, so I'm going to – this is almost – because baseball did this a few years ago, right? They have it now, a play-in game, mm-hmm. or like a wild card play-in game. One game, that's it, you're in or out.
Correct.
That's why I'm confused by the NBA format, because it's not the same. But there are teams, and people rip these teams for it, but they'll print T-shirts and hats that they've made the postseason.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not. It doesn't count as playoff stats, none of that.
Right, I know that.
You have to be in the bracket.
I didn't know, are they printing hats and T-shirts? Okay, so Minnesota, well, I bet you are they officially in after that win? No?
Yeah, Minnesota's in.
Okay, Minnesota.
Minnesota and Brooklyn are in.
Playoff merch.
Yeah, they are actually, they could.
That's going to come up because they're in.
Yeah, they're in.
They're in. So
see about
what team do I need to be looking for?
How about Atlanta? What does Atlanta got?
Perfect. Atlanta Hawks, not the Braves. We know they make playoffs.
What did it say?
Let me make sure it's not last year's.
Yeah, because they were in the playoffs last year.
Right. That's a great debate, though, is should playoff shirts be made for teams that are in these play-in games?
No.
I'm not seeing any.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Okay.
You got to – yeah, I don't think there is going to be.
All right.
So the Hawks hammered.
Then I agree. It's not the playoffs yet.
No, it's not. I mean, and I know that the stats don't count as playoff stats until you actually get into a series. So the Hawks whipped up on Charlotte, the Hornets, 132-103. Trey didn't shoot it very well, but he kind of controlled the game, 11 assists, 24. They just beat down Charlotte. And then also last night, the Pellies knocked out the Spurs, 113-103. I watched, a quarter and a half of that Pelicans-Spurs game early on. I got to tell you something. I think the Pelicans are pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yes. They got length with, like, Ingram and Valanciunas and Jackson Hayes from Texas. You know, he's one of those handful of Texas big dudes that you forget went to Texas because they were there 1 year. They've got CJ McCollum. And you know what puts them over the top? If it's possible, you know what could put them over the top?
Zion?
Healthy Zion.
Yeah, and he's...
They showed him dunking last night, 360s and all that, but they made the point of there's no chance he would play against the Clippers. More than likely, no chance he would play in a series against the Suns in the first round, which is what that would be. And then, but they're not ruling him out in for the rest of the year. Meanwhile, though, the GM, David Griffin, did mention to, I can't remember who the sideline lady was. Anyway, that that they would, they're hoping their timeline for Zion to be completely ready to go is the first day of training camp. So, you know, all summer long, which they might want to get him a different place outside of New Orleans and all that rich food, because he looked a little...
The bidets. That's they're called, bidets?
No, Jared, a bidet is something that you clean yourself with.
Well, what are they called, though?
Good grief. I'm not eating a bidet. No, thank you.
Please don't eat a bidet. That's not a fancy water fountain.
No, no.
What
beignet.
Are those? Beignet, thank you. There's your promo.
Would you like cream with that bidet?
We're done.
No, I'd rather have the beignet, if you would allow that for me, please.
Remind me next time I'm in New Orleans not to order a beignet.
Yeah, go up to it's Cafe Du Monde is the famous place. Hey, Jared, kind of wanting to be... everybody, all right, picture this. Jared's in his touristy... I'm in New Orleans.
Beads.
I got beads everywhere. Hurricane in his left hand. He walks up to Cafe Du Monde, and he'll say, yeah, I'll have the beidet.
The jazz band in the corner suddenly stops
it just,
playing.
Yeah, like instead of the record scratching, the saxophone guy goes,
you hear a glass break in the background. Yeah.
Audible
gasp everywhere.
I mean the
beignet. Oh, boy. Back on topic, yeah.
I do think the Pelicans could be fantastic with Zion, though.
Well, that was always the question, a healthy one, a healthy Zion. But
and, you know, we've never really got to see him.
We've never seen him healthy. Outside of Duke, but not in the pros.
No.
And everyone was already labeling him a bust because of the weight gain and the injuries and all that. But I don't think we're ready to label him just yet. So I'm anxious to see him healthy too. Now, does he want to be in New Orleans?
Yeah, that's been kind of a question. But man, when you watch that team last, and of course, like I said, it was a quarter and a half. But you know, McCollum. The way that he has the ability to stretch the floor, you know, Ingram has become a better and better and better and better player as he's gone along. You know, I think the Lakers clearly gave up on him way too quick, you know, for shipping him out. I get why, because they got Anthony Davis and it led it to a title. But at the same time, you could tell why the Pelicans made Brandon Ingram a must in that trade. You know, he had 27 last night on 11 of 19. McCollum 32 on 12 of 23. You know, that's it's pretty good stuff there for the Pelicans. Now the other game, the Hawks just killed the Hornets 132-103. So it'll be Hawks and Cleveland tomorrow for the last spot in the East. It'll be New Orleans and the Clippers for the last spot in the West. Charlotte has been in the play-in game the last 2 years, and they've gotten beat by a combined, I don't know, 100. It's like 144-107 last year, 132-103 this year. So they're clearly kind of one of those teams that, like I said, it'd be, 56 points combined losses in the two games.
Who is the bozo throwing his mouthpiece at a little girl?
Yeah, he apologized already. It was Bridges. Called it unacceptable action. You know, that's one of those, you get frustrated, you fire it up there, and you hit a little girl, and you think, what an idiot of yourself. I mean, you know, and he clearly did. It was a real apology, not just a fake one. You know what I'm saying? He could tell he felt like an idiot and was really genuinely sorry. Now, I bring up the Hornets for one reason. I think the Hornets are your landing place for Russell Westbrook.
Oh, okay. Because Michael Jordan likes him?
Because Michael Jordan likes him. Because the Hornets have trouble, too, with some contracts they probably don't want. But those contracts they may not want mesh with Anthony Davis and LeBron Westbrook. And I'm talking about Gordon Hayward and, like, I'm throwing Kelly Oubre, let's just say, to make the money work. You know, that helps both teams. Well, it helps L.A., obviously. And you know what? It puts Russ more in his element of give me the ball, I'll make everybody else better. And you're right, Jordan loves him. Don't be surprised. You heard it here first. Russell Westbrook, a Hornet. And wouldn't that kind of fit? Wouldn't that kind of fit his demeanor anyway?
Yeah,
he's kind of a little Hornet.
Exactly. He'll sting you if you let him. Now, sticking with the puns, does he fly well by himself?
Obviously.
Right? We said that when Durant
his best
left.
Season.
His best season was the first one without Durant. I think it could be a win-win for everybody, both front office and on the court. I don't see why not.
I really don't either.
He's tied to Indy, you know, the Pacers. That keeps getting brought up, and I don't know if there's real.
Why?
Legs
I mean,
to
I
that
saw that
not.
Trade. What in the world? Why would Indiana ever do that?
Nah, I don't know.
For Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield, the Pacers would never do that.
No. I don't know.
They didn't give up Domas Sabonis to get Russell Westbrook, which is essentially what would happen.
Yeah.
That's not what they did. That's silly. There's no. If Indiana does
like,
that.
It's like media members write this. Just to try
hoping
to
get the Lakers better. That's all. That's designed to do.
Yeah.
Is hey, let's figure out a trade to make the Lakers better.
Yeah, and let's
not
let's
even thinking
pound
about the
it
Pacers.
To the ground until it is an actual thing. You know, they're going to ride it into existence. It's ridiculous.
If there's no way the Pacers are doing that. Now, this other one makes sense because it's able to offload some contracts that both teams don't want. And by the way, you know, Charlotte gets Russ back and more money, but it's only 1 year. Because you've got two more years of Gordon Hayward at $31.5 million, 30.1 million, and then 31.5 million for next year and the year after. That Charlotte, and you know, just 1 year of Russ, and then you can do something with that, or you don't. And you know, what if he kind of resurrects himself out there? You know, does he become a piece you could trade to somebody at the deadline?
I think the example he needs to follow is like Carmelo Anthony. You know what I mean? He was kind of dormant for a while, and now he's become this nice piece on a team.
Yeah, I mean.
But that's not Russ's style, and I get that.
No,
but
it's
you
not.
Have to
and he
adjust.
Can't shoot. That's the problem. No. You can't set him out there in the corner and make a shot.
But he has to adjust. If he wants to continue to be, well, to just to be in the league, he's going to have to be like, you know, he's got to adjust his game, be a role player, be a veteran, be an Anthony or a Carmelo Anthony or – or a Chris Paul is another fine example.
His is Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd.
His example is Jason. Think about Jason Kidd as a net when he was drafted into the league, how dynamic he was. Now think about Jason Kidd on the 2011 Mavs that won the title. Completely different player. You wouldn't even know it was the same guy.
See,
if you didn't know his name.
I completely forgot he was actually on that team.
I mean, look at the list of the all-time three-point made three-pointers list, and a guy that absolutely couldn't shoot early in his career is like top five. Jason Kidd's like third all time on made threes, maybe fourth now because of Steph, and hell, maybe fifth because of Thompson, because of how many they've made it in early, you know, this early in their career or whatever. But I mean, that is the model that Russell Westbrook should have been following a long time ago, not just now, because that's, you know, Jason Kidd got to play a bunch more years, and oh, by the way, win a title because he transformed himself into something totally different than he was early. And obviously, losing athleticism forces you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that Russell Westbrook's going to have to try or have to change somehow. Otherwise, when that ability athletically goes down, he's not going to have anything to fall back on. You know, that is his game. He's got to have more than that.
Yeah.
So those games tomorrow night. The one thing the Thunder fans be watching for, if the Clippers lose to the Pelicans, Oklahoma City has another lottery pick, which, I mean, the chances are astronomical of that being something, but their chances are actually something rather than nothing if the Clippers win.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance. And now you'd hit the tankathon between now and May 17th 4 million times for that one time where you see, oh, Oklahoma City gets the first and second pick via the Clippers getting lucky, or Clippers getting lucky for OKC. But that'll be the interest there. And then, of course, the playoffs will start. I can't wait for Brooklyn-Boston. I think that's going to be so much fun with the Kyrie angle going back to Boston. Man, that's just – that's fun stuff because that's what the NBA is about,
yeah.
Pettiness. pettiness and rivalries.
The pettiness.
The pettiness of the Boston fans versus the pettiness of Kyrie. It's a petty off.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got Durant, who I guarantee you can't wait just to step in and rip out the hearts of Boston fans. And I'm here for it. I got to be honest with you.
Well, it's kind of like...
I can't stand the super team thing, but you know what? To me, the Nets, in a weird way, feel like they've left the super team thing by trading Harden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes, to me, that makes them, I don't know, 400 times more likable not having him versus having him. I'm over the Durant stuff.
Yeah.
What he did was weak, but it's over.
Yeah.
And now you can. Now I'm to the point of, I'm just going to enjoy watching his greatness, because he is something that we haven't really seen the likes of, outside of maybe sprinkling a little Dirk.
Right.
A guy that big that can move like that, that can shoot the basketball like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, does it
it's
suck?
Easier.
It's not wearing Thunder Blue.
Well,
of course it does.
Sure,
but that's a long time ago.
I guess, I mean, it's still with me, but do I lose sleep over it? No, the Durant thing. But to me, it's kind of like this, just like the NCAA tournament. When OU's not in it, I almost enjoy it more. When OU or OSU is not in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you're just, you know what? I'm here for the entertainment.
But see, but that's, I guess that's right, because then you can kind of choose a team to kind of want to win. Does that make sense? Like, you're not going to be diehard, live and die with wins and losses by them, but you're going to kind of gravitate. Like, the last year's finals was perfect to me, because it wasn't the Lakers, it wasn't the Nets.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, Chris Paul, who's so likable after he came back here. And then, of course, Giannis and the small, like, as Oklahoma City is right here, you kind of start looking at Milwaukee like, okay, that's how it happens again.
Mm-hmm.
We were there, too. We just didn't get the title, but that's exactly how it happened here, and it can happen again, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, just get the guy to stay like Giannis did. And so now, you know, I'm going to find myself, I promise you, I'm going to find myself rooting for two teams. Actually, just one, because I don't know if I can root for Memphis just because of all the playoff series that Oklahoma City had with them.
Yeah, I that's almost.
It's going to be Phoenix. I'm gonna be rooting for
absolutely.
Phoenix and Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I can already tell. That's going to be the team that I'm going to latch onto and bandwagon on, hoping that they win just to see Chris Paul win a title.
Well, I was kind of like that last year.
Yeah,
that story is so cool.
The Giannis thing trumped it for me.
Yeah, I didn't mind
in
who
Milwaukee.
Won. I didn't
yeah.
mind who won, you know. But when the series, before it started, I thought, you know what? Everybody would love to see Chris Paul win this thing. He's been such a stand-up guy in this league for so long. Obviously, the Oklahoma City ties.
And the Monty Williams thing, too, back to Oklahoma City,
right,
and the tragedy that befell
yeah,
him here.
Just a all-around nice guys. But, you know, it didn't bother me Giannis won it, and it didn't bother me that it was those two teams playing. Yeah, I'm going to gravitate, I'm with you, probably towards Phoenix. But again, like I said, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it.
I think so, too.
Just be a fan.
And it ought to be really good. Those East playoffs ought to be really,
yeah,
really
so.
Good.
I think so. There's a lot of teams I could root for. Any team that's playing Brooklyn.
See,
there it
that,
is. There's the pettiness. There it is.
Wrapping it up for Thursday, final segment before Good Friday. ESPN's College Football Power Index. This is, I'm not sure the formula. It's, there's a lot there to be able to.
I'm trying to find it. There it is. Okay.
All right. So it's got four teams that are way ahead of everybody else as far as percentage chance to make the playoffs.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Gotcha.
Those four teams, three will not be a surprise. I think one of them a year ago wouldn't have been a surprise at all. This year, maybe so. So the most likely team in the FPI's opinion to make the playoffs is actually the number two team in the poll, which is the Ohio State. 82% chance to make the playoff. Number one in the poll is number two in that. It's Alabama, 79. Georgia, 73.5. And then the fourth team that's way ahead of everybody else as far as making the playoff is Clemson. I think that's two things. One, they've been good, and two, their conference is awful.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the ACC, that's where I was going with it.
So
just by virtue of being in that horrible conference, who's the second best team? Can you name them?
Probably going to Pitt, according to this.
According to this.
Even though they lost Kenny Pickett, but they did pick up Keaton Slovis, one of the transfers out of USC as a quarterback. Then NC State, I think, is going to be a team people like. Miami, maybe. We'll see. So that's the top four. Number five, Notre Dame.
Okay.
Lost Brian Kelly, pick up, what's his name, Freeman, as the coach. They look pretty good against OSU. Got out to that big lead, and then the Cowboys came back and beat him in the Fiesta Bowl. So we'll see. Number six, this is an interesting one. Texas.
Of course.
How the heck do the it's
of course.
Not, it's not normally the computers that like Texas. It's the people. That's what I'm saying. The people normally do this, not the computers. The computers normally see right through them and have them way down, and then everybody's going, oh, my gosh. The computers have Texas 28, and we've got them 4. It's opposite. Texas number 6 with the computers. Why?
What do the computers use? Do they use returning starters?
We'll have to read the formula.
Wins?
Well, they had a losing
Kansas
record.
Kansas losses? What do they use to equate this? If it wasn't for that dang Kansas loss, they'd be a playoff favorite. Right there with Clemson. I don't get it. You know, they don't pass the eye test. They haven't in a decade. I don't get it. But there's something there. I think it might be, obviously, a lot of it's returning starters. Maybe production that's been transferred in or potential production. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be one thing if Quinn Ewers went up and lit it up at Ohio State and
but
then transferred.
We don't know anything about the
exactly,
guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do they take recruiting rankings into effect? You know, Texas is always going to get a lot of love for that. It's just a matter of they don't produce anything. I've seen that for the better part of a decade. But is that a part of it? I don't know. Does their schedule come into a part of it? Where they go? Who they host?
They play Alabama.
Well, there you go. I mean, come on.
Think about this. Only once in the last 10 years has Texas finished higher than they started. It was in 2018 when they played Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game. They started 23rd and finished 9th. Right. That's 8 people.
Okay.
They only finished ranked 3 other times in a 10-year span. So they're 6. Darn it. I just clicked off the poll. I knew that there were those facts there. Who's in between Texas and Oklahoma?
Where are you?
Michigan.
Michigan.
Michigan 7, OU 8, which personally, I think that's too high. There's a lot of unknown with Oklahoma to be putting them in the top 10.
Right.
I'm not saying they can't finish there at the end and you can't be a part of Big 12 titles and playoff and any of that, but there's no way going into it that I'm going to say that. Pitt at 9, that's interesting, losing Pickett. Auburn 10, LSU 11, Oklahoma State is 13th, the Aggies, Texas A&M at 14. Other Big 12 teams, Baylor's at 19. And is that it? OU Texas, yep, 4 Big 12 teams in the top 25. 9 SEC teams, which isn't surprising. But I think that's interesting. The two things that I took away from it just looking at it was, one, Clemson being that much higher than everybody else. Like, they're 59% to make the playoff. The next closest actually is Texas at 21% after the season they had last year. Clemson being that high, and then obviously Texas being 6. That's just craziness to me.
Clemson still has Dabo, but they lost a lot of personnel around them. There's a lot of questions. You mentioned questions with Oklahoma. Outside of a head coach, there's a lot of questions.
And a quarterback.
And a quarterback. But the A's being in a weak conference, I think, is a big reason why they're up there. And they're, you know, perennial winners. This is a big turning point for Clemson, though, this year. Can they continue to win like they have? Is the quarterback situation settled down? Yeah, I don't know. And the Texas thing, I'm still wrapping my head around it. I see what you're saying about OU. I think there's just a lot of respect there for them. But those two, I think the two toughest games, two out of three toughest games are at home, Baylor, OSU. I'd like to look this formula, see how this is equated.
Yeah, I was trying to look at it, and it's hard to find the explanation.
I think Baylor's too low. They're defending champs. They got a solid coach. They're going to keep them for a while, it looks like. I think they're better than teams, quite a few teams above them.
You know a team I think's too low, and they're always too low? Except for the one time you picked them to make the playoff, and they almost did. Utah.
Yeah.
Utah at 15.
Yeah, I think
with the way they play. I mean, your last impression, and I mean, I'm not gonna pretend like I can tell you everybody that's back on Utah. I know they're gonna lose the linebacker Lloyd because he's gonna be a first round pick or whatever. But you know, your last impression of them was, my Lord, they took. I mean, they went right up and down the field with Ohio State.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a heck of a game.
They got Rising coming back.
Rising, Tavion Thomas is running back. You know, I don't know about the tight end guy. The tight end was a huge part of that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Like, I know, you know, Phil hadn't wrote his magazine yet, so we don't know exactly who's coming back and who's not. But Utah would be always kind of one that I would look at as, boy, where are they at? Yeah, it's probably too low. But it also speaks to the weakness of that conference when the top team in the whole thing is 15th. That, my friends, is what, if you're an OU fan that wants to see Lincoln Riley fall on his face, that stat right there is what should scare the hell out of you. Because it's not going to take just a whole heck of a lot for him to be right at the top of that deal with the history of USC and the players that are around him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's ready-made for him to step in there and be Mr. Little Savior Boy. Who do you think? We've already got one of these on the text line, 225-9698. Who do you think is going to be the next team to make their first playoff appearance?
Well, I don't agree with the text line because every
Dakota's got OSU.
Because this isn't a knock on OSU, but what have we said before? When they have high expectations, they don't meet them. When they don't have high expectations, they
have a year like last year.
This year they're going to have a lot of high expectations with a lot coming back and appear to be very solid. But until they live up to the expectations, I can't pick them. I think they'll have a nice year. I just don't think that it's a playoff year. I'm looking at teams here.
I don't believe
in Pitt.
I don't know that it has to be next year.
For OSU?
For anybody that you're about to name. Because there's certain years where, guess what? The teams are going to make the playoffs have already made it before.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, we thought that last year.
Over time, this list is going to grow shorter.
Last year, we thought it was four guaranteed playoff teams going into the year. And we got two that had never been there.
Right.
With Cincinnati and Michigan. So, you know, it depends on how it plays out, obviously. But just off the top of your head, you look at this list to kind of help you with names. Who do you think is going to be the next first playoff team?
I think Ohio State gets in. I'm talking or thinking out loud. I keep gravitating back to the Big Ten. And it's between either Penn State or Wisconsin. I'll go Wisconsin. I know they're at 21. Which seems incredibly low for a playoff team. But, I mean, there's been a lot of teams that started that low and have risen. I'd say Wisconsin, I think, has a good shot as being the second-best team in the Big Ten. And who knows? I'll look up their schedule. Who knows what they could rise to the top. I've always been high on them as a team that one year will break through. I've always kind of labeled them as, you know, Iowa almost did it. I think Wisconsin could be kind of like Iowa was or has been the last couple of years.
Yeah, Dakota, I agree. Down the road, it's USC. I think that's probably right. I'm gonna take them. I'm gonna take USC as the next first playoff team because of that conference. Damn. Now, here's the thing: if it happens this year out of the Pac-12, I think it's Utah. because I don't think USC's ready. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I should have went with
Utah. And Oregon's already made one.
I should have went with Utah.
You know, Oregon's already been there.
Yeah.
I think a team that a lot of people will immediately snap and say that I would never say because of, one, their history, and, two, the conference they play in, is A&M.
Yeah.
I think A&M.
A lot of people will pick them.
I think a lot of people would say they would be the next team. Yeah, here you go. Yeah, they're spending. The Texas A&M will eventually get it done. They're spending all the money. Eventually, that's probably true. Eventually. And Texas is probably in that boat too at some point. But if you're talking about this year, next year, I think the road is so much tougher for A&M than it is for USC or Utah. Interesting thought about Wisconsin. You know, there's been times where they've been right there. You know, a Big Ten title game win away and couldn't get it done.
Their schedule doesn't do them any favors.
And then you got to look at the ACC. What happens if Miami gets good under Cristobal? That's a path that's way easier than most. You know, Florida State, they seem so far away right now, but with their history and what they've been able to do at times, you know, is that a viable one? And then what about this? Could there be a different mid-major, a UCF? Because they've had some success.
We're over time, but that was going to be my next question. Who's the next mid-major to punch a ticket, if ever, if the playoff format remains at four?
How about this? Nobody. Because here's why. Your best candidates are fixing to not be mid-majors.
That's true.
BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, those are kind of your guy outside of maybe Boise. You know, those are kind of your teams.
I got one in mind.
Okay, who?
Maybe not this year, but I think they're up and coming because of NIL, and I've been big on this and mid. And
I know who you're
going to
say.
Markets.
I know who you're going to say. Let me guess. SMU.
There you go.
Did you see who they got yesterday?
Yep. Kamar, Pony Express has risen again.
Kamar Wheaton.
Yep.
Kamar, Sooner fans remember him. But here's the as that recruitment was ending, and at the time you thought it was probably sour grapes, it turns out I think he's kind of a weirdo, but just he doesn't know what he's kind of immature. So it doesn't surprise me he ended up back where he did. Back home, that kind of thing, and maybe not wanting the spotlight as much as his talent gave it to him. Does that make sense?
Sure. People are going to forget about him, and he's going to be the leading rusher in the Conference USA.
Instead of like the second guy for Alabama or Oklahoma or wherever else he might
right.
be. It's interesting because there's a list of powerful teams that have never made the playoff that you wouldn't have thought of when it started.
I know.
Texas, USC, a bunch of those teams that now appear, at least in some people's eyes, maybe they're kind of making their way back.
Yep.
Everybody have a wonderful Thursday. We'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.